This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. And we're going to get to this FBI Director Kash Patel stuff. Well, hopefully here in a little bit. Making fun of Dome. Trump put out a statement about our hostages, which I love. All that, man. I mean, there is so much. Debanking people. We have to make fun of Jill Biden. In fact, we'll trash Kamala Harris. All that's still to come on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. But first, you know what time it is? Every Monday at this time, we do Medal of Honor Monday. We take a Medal of Honor citation. Every time somebody earns a Medal of Honor, they do a write-up on it. It's called a citation. Not sure why. We read it. That's all. All these citations, everyone who's ever earned one, his citation is available to you online for free. And there are several different websites you can go. I know Congressional Medal of Honor Society has one, but they're not nearly the only one. And you can sort it by date or by conflict, I should say, or by military branch, or whatever you want. But read these. They're great reading, I should note. They're great lessons. If you're a teacher, do this with your class. It's not political. If you're a parent, read these to your kids. Look at parents. I'll tell you something. I'm certainly no expert on parenting, but you want to get your kids interested in a story? Make it a military story about heroism. Sons and daughters will sit and listen when you're reading about some stud. And you know what they get from it? They learn what they're supposed to be, the kind of person they're supposed to be. And we take email suggestions for it. We have plenty of our own, but we take ones like this one we got. This was from back in April. Yeah, it's a bit of a backup now. There's a line at this point in time, which is really weird for us still, but hey, whatever, we're not going to complain about it. Hey, Jesse, I'll start this out by saying I'm a 6'8", 300-pound former ground pounder in the Army. I'm in my mid-50s, not as thin as you, but, you know, not a jelly roll. I was in Aldi's the other day, grocery store chain. I noticed they had Chipotle Tabasco, which isn't an everyday occurrence. Walked up, grabbed five bottles. Looks like I'd be making some world-famous Jesse Kelly burgers. And this lady looked up at me like she thought I was you. She didn't ask, but I could tell. So I could just say I got more hair than him. You know, that's not very nice. Anyway, the guy says, today I had the honor to accompany me and my father went to a Vietnam Veterans Day celebration in Wisconsin. I had the honor to meet Specialist Gary Wetzel, Medal of Honor recipient from our state of cheese and cow manure and beer farts. I have included his citation below. That's Wisconsin, in case you're wondering. I included his citation below. I don't know that I've heard this one on Monday. Maybe you've already done it, but it would be worth reading. You look into this guy's eyes with the medal around his neck, you see nothing but pride and steel. Have a great day, Oracle. So without further ado, let's read the Medal of Honor citation. Vietnam guy from a Gary George Wetzel, U.S. Army.
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond, it's Medal of Honor Monday.
SP-4C Wetzel, 173rd Assault Helicopter Company, distinguished himself by conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty. SP-4C Wetzel was serving as a door gunner aboard a helicopter, which was part of an insertion force trapped in a landing zone by intense and deadly hostile fire. SP-4C Wetzel was going to the aid of his aircraft commander when he was blown into a rice paddy and critically wounded by two enemy rockets that exploded just inches from his location. Although bleeding profusely due to the loss of his left arm and severe wounds in his right arm, chest, and left leg, SP-4C Wetzel staggered back to his original position in his gunwale and took the enemy forces under fire. His machine gun was the only weapon placing effective fire on the enemy at the time. Through a resolve that overcame the shock and intolerable pain of his injuries, SP-4C Wetzel remained at his position until he had eliminated the automatic weapons emplacement that had been inflicting heavy casualties on the American troops and preventing them from moving against this strong enemy force. Refusing to attend to his own extensive wounds, he attempted to return to the aid of his aircraft commander, but passed out from loss of blood. Regaining consciousness, he persisted in his efforts to drag himself to the aid of his fellow crewman. After an agonizing effort, he came to the side of the crew chief, who was attempting to drag the wounded aircraft commander to the safety of a nearby dike. Unswerving in his devotion to his fellow man, SP-4C Wetzel assisted his crew chief, even though he lost consciousness once again during the action. SP-4C Wetzel displayed extraordinary heroism in his effort to aid his fellow crewmen. His gallant actions were in keeping with the highest traditions of the U.S. Army and reflect great credit upon himself and the armed forces of his country. Those door gunners in Vietnam did not live long. The average lifespan of a door gunner, it was some of the shortest in the entire war. Let me explain why. Heavy machine guns, if you are fighting against them, you have to take them out quickly. When you have a heavy machine gun that pours a lot of heavy lead downrange, if there's a machine gun emplacement, it is the most dangerous thing to you and your infantry platoon for very obvious reasons. It's the thing that can wipe all of you out. So, let's say if we're on a battlefield and we have to take a hill. There's a hill in front of us. And there are a bunch of guys on the hill who are trying to kill us. Okay, but they have individual rifles. And so they're shooting. Pow, pow, pow. They're shooting down at us. Let's call it 50 guys on the hill. But there is one heavy machine gun emplacement. And it is pouring deadly fire down on you. Then your platoon commander will undoubtedly, they are all trained in this and it's all correct, he will find a way to assault and clear that machine gun position. Maybe that's a sniper. Maybe you've got to smoke your way up to it. Maybe it involves calling for air. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter how many other guys are shooting. That is the position that has to go. The enemy knows this too, you should keep in mind. So in Vietnam, remember, Vietnam was the first war where we really used the helo, the helicopter, to insert guys in, take guys out, insert supplies in, take some. It was the first time we used that en masse. Well, a machine gun emplacement in a hill has the benefit of usually being dug in. If you have time to do so, you will dig into the ground, sandbags, fields of fire. He knows you're going to shoot at him, so he has to build up things around him to try to keep you from killing him. A door gunner doesn't have that. And guess what a helicopter does? It makes noise and it comes in from the sky. If you're the enemy, you can hear a helicopter coming a long time before it gets to you, and you are well aware that it is a flying machine gun emplacement, bringing a heavy weapon into the battlefield that will kill you and all of your friends. What I'm trying to say is if you were a door gunner in Vietnam, you got shot at a lot, and they died in droves because it wasn't the helo itself that was a unique danger to you, although it was bringing troops and supplies. It was that freaking guy with the minigun or the M60 or whatever he had hanging out the side of the door. And I'm telling you right now, if you put me in black pajamas and made me a dirty Vietnam commie scumbag, that's the guy I'd be shooting at, because that's the guy who can wipe us all out. To get back in your door gun after having your left arm blown off, it was signing up for death. It's a miracle the guy did not die, because I promise you, virtually every gun on that battlefield was pointing at and shooting at the guy without any protection and without a left arm sitting in the door gunner chair. I don't know that that brought that home for you, but I hope it did a little. You are not safe sitting in that door gunner chair. You're in the most danger of everybody without any cover. And do remember this. Helicopters, they're not cover. Maybe you look and you think, wow, he's got that metal. It's like a piece of paper. It's nothing. You could walk up to the side of one of these helos. If you had any strength with a screwdriver in your hands, you could probably reach back and punch a hole in it. They were shooting AK-47s. He had no cover at all. Freaking gutsy, right? All right. Now let's talk about Cash Patel. Man, there's so much to get through. So much came down. Let's talk about Trump's FBI guy, shall we? Before we get to that, let's talk about a special that is only good for today. So I need to stress this to you. You know, I don't do, have I ever done that to you before? You gotta buy now. I don't do that unless it's true. Byrna, you know, they shoot it's the non-lethal pistol launchers that'll save your life. They shoot pepper balls or tear gas balls or kinetic rounds. Legal in all 50 states. I know everyone wants one. Everyone wants one. No permit needed. No background check. You just order it. They'll send it to your front door. And then it saves your life when you shoot a bad guy with it, because it stops him in his tracks. Yeah, today, their Black Friday sale ends. It ends today. 15% off the entire site. You have to go to Byrna.com today, because it ends today. Today is the end of it. Byrna.com, B-Y-R-N-A, Byrna.com, promo code Jesse, 15% off. Save all the money you can. Let's talk Cash Patel next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Of course, it's been a great Monday. If you missed any part of the show, you can download the whole thing, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Don't forget to send us an email. Love your emails. Love, hate, death threats. All are welcome. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Now, Donald Trump nominates Cash Patel officially. He did it over the weekend. Cash Patel to be the head of the FBI. This Cash Patel, as heard on the Sean Ryan Show.
The FBI's footprint has gotten so freaking big, and the biggest problem the FBI has had has come out of its intel shops. I'd break that component out of it. I'd shut down the FBI Hoover building on day one and reopening the next day as a museum of the deep state. And I'd take the 7,000 employees that work in that building and send them across America to chase down criminals. Go be cops. You're cops. Go be cops. Go chase down murderers and drug dealers and violent offenders. What do you need 7,000 people there for? Same thing with DOJ. What are all these people doing here? Looking for their next government promotion, looking for their next fancy government title, looking for their parachute out of government. So while you're bringing in the right people, you also have to shrink government.
Okay. let's talk about Kash Patel, and more specifically, let's talk about why there is such an overwhelming opposition to him, not just from the communists, but from, it would appear, some members of the establishment GOP. So before we do that specifically, let's pause for a moment. You know about corporate security, personal security, private security, security guards. You obviously know this is a thing that exists. And you know there are various levels of security. When I say security, maybe you think mall cop. You know, there's nothing wrong with being a mall cop, but that would be really your lowest, most basic level. You're making $13 an hour. They probably don't even let you carry a gun. It goes anywhere from that all the way up to you're hiring a bunch of former Navy SEALs and Green Beret types. Now, corporations will spend inhuman amounts of money for corporate security. I've told you this before. I know of somebody, you would know him too. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but I know of somebody who he pays north of $100,000 a month for private security. Okay. Why? Why do people do that? Why do corporations do that? You do that to protect what's valuable. I know that's an obvious point, but just stay with me. I'm going somewhere with this. You do that to protect what's valuable. Now, let's talk really quickly about NGOs, non-government organizations, because you've heard this a lot. You've heard this a lot. Remember last week when we talked about the NGOs involved with illegal immigration? Specifically, in case you missed it or didn't memorize every word I said last week, Democrats got elected and opened up the border on purpose. You know that. But they did more than just open up the border. They did more than just kind of leave the door open. Hey, we're going to walk away. The door is open if anyone wants to come in. They did way, way, way more than that. They did, with your money, the worst thing imaginable. They grabbed as many people from foreign lands as possible and brought them here on purpose, using all these different refugee programs and stuff. They flat out flew plane loads of people into this country by the millions of them. Democrats did that on purpose. Why? Well, part of it is because they're America-hating scumbags who don't believe in borders or sovereignty and they want America to burn. That's a big part of it. But another part of it is money. Remember last week when we talked about it was a former employee of Michelle Obama who now heads up an NGO, and her salary had tripled in just a few years. Why? Because that NGO's job was to take care of the illegals that the Democrats brought into the country. Again, virtually everything. We'll always come back to this on the show. Virtually everything is a corrupt government scheme to bloodsuck money out of your wallet and put it into their wallets. It's a huge crime family that takes taxes from you and puts it into their pockets. An open border doesn't just give them what they want as far as destroying America and more violent crime, which helps the revolution. It's not just that. It's gargantuan amounts of money for the members of the system. If you're a Democrat, you want to make some money off this, hey, just go start this NGO and you can be the CEO. And oh, look at that, a government contract landed on your desk because we need you to help little Pedro. And so, of course, while you're making $500,000 a year, you're helping Pedro get some pupusas. But it's way, way, way worse than that, you see. The illegal immigration aspect of blood-sucking money out of your wallet, it's just, I don't want to say the biggest one because the one we're about to discuss is probably the biggest one. It's just the most obvious one. It's easy to follow the money. When you go down to Mexico and you go into a border town where people normally come through in order to cross into America, you will find NGOs there, and they're there specifically to instruct the illegals how to get into the United States of America on purpose. You already know this stuff. That's just the obvious one. Others, which are less obvious, are foreign NGOs. And when I say foreign, I don't mean located in foreign lands or headquartered in foreign lands. They're headquartered here, but their job is to do things in foreign lands.
Now, what does any of this have to do with Cash Patel? I'll tie all this together in just a moment. Before we tie all that together, let's talk about Preborn. Let's talk about something incredible. There is an organization that saves 200 lives a day. And you know, a lot of people can lay claim to saving a life. A lot of people claim that I saved this life. Or maybe you've claimed someone else saved yours. Or that guy, he got me off drugs. He saved my life. You know, that's fair. I'm not denying that. But Preborn is actually saving 200 lives a day, meaning the woman is about to abort her baby. Except Preborn got a hold of her first and gave her a free ultrasound. And when she hears the heartbeat, she chooses life almost every time. 200 a day. And it's tax deductible. We're coming up on the end of the year. Whatever you give to Preborn is tax deductible. $28 buys the ultrasound. If that's what you could do, that's what you do. Whatever you can do. But it doesn't buy an ultrasound. It buys a life. You want to save a life with Preborn today? Preborn.com/Jesse. Go save a life and write it off on your taxes. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We continue this NGO talk and how it gets back to Cash Patel. Next.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Of course, it's been a Medal of Honor Monday. I'm gonna finish this little NGO talk and how it ties back to Cash Patel, Trump's pick for FBI director. And really, it's more of a talk about how much of the system is designed to bloodsuck money from you and hand it to each other. So, you know who Victoria Nuland is? For some reason, I have an inclination to call her Victoria Nunes. I'm sure I have on the air before, but her name is Victoria Nuland. But there are a few names you should know, okay? Names the normies don't know and will never know, but they are important people for you to know. Of course, they're proteges of Barack Obama. Barack Obama brought three women into his life. Well, into his presidency, I should say. And they are three of the most America-hating, evil communist witches you've ever heard of. They are true power. When we talk about the system and how it doesn't have a one king in charge of it, it's got a board. Just consider it like a corporation, a big evil criminal empire. All three of these women, they sit at that table. If they actually had board meetings, all three of them would be. Their names are Susan Rice, Lisa Monaco, and Victoria Nuland. All three of them. They are real, genuine America haters, true believers in communism, true torch lighters. They are really trying to burn it all down. And man, if you want to hear how the system works, here's how it works. This will come back to Cash Patel. Stay with me. You see, let's just read really quickly. Let's focus on Victoria Nuland for our purposes now. Here's her resume, as a matter of fact. Well, a little bit of it anyway. I read this directly from the NED's website. We'll get to the NED in a moment. Ambassador Victoria Nuland served as the Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs in 2021 and acting Deputy Secretary of State from 2023 under the Biden administration before retiring early in 2024. Okay, so she was obviously a big shot in Joe Biden's administration. Previously, she served as Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs from 2013 until 2017 under President Barack Obama, and was the State Department spokesperson during Secretary Hillary Clinton's tenure. So, while Hillary was in charge of the State Department, swindling money from everybody, this woman was the spokesperson, spokeswoman. We used to call him spokeswoman or spokesman anyway. Under Barack Obama, big lofty appointments. Then she left for a while. Then Joe Biden came back. And she seems to be working in the State Department a lot. Under Secretary of State. Huh. What does a Secretary of State do? Maybe you remember Hillary Clinton bragging about how many miles she traveled as Secretary of State. You see, Secretary of State, it's not a domestic position. It's a foreign position. You travel around the world and represent the United States of America to countries around the globe. It's a travel job. You travel to foreign lands. Okay, all right, just stay with me, stay with me. Victoria Nuland. But she's not working in government anymore. Huh, that's weird. Where did she go? Because it says she left in 2017. Well, wonder what she was doing. Oh, no, before retiring in early 2024. There it is. But it's not early 2024. Hold on, let me check. Yeah, it's late. It's December. Has she been out of work? Like you would be if you left your job? Oh, no, no, no. See, I read you the biography of Victoria Nuland because now she works for, wow, what a wonderful sounding organization, the National Endowment for Democracy. Whoa. That sounds cool, right? National Endowment for Democracy. That's awesome. And the National Endowment for Democracy is an NGO. So, where does she work? Well, she works in places like Ukraine and Georgia. No, not the Georgia that has wonderful banana pudding. The other Georgia, the one over there in Europe. You see, Victoria Nuland now works for an NGO that does, look, there are all kinds of allegations about these NGOs. The allegations run deep. Many people will say these are CIA, Central Intelligence Agency funded NGOs. Many people will say, in fact, there's a Glenn Dyson or Deason, I don't know his name. Well, this is what he says. The non-governmental organizations that organize anti-government protests and support coups in places such as Ukraine and Georgia are funded by the U.S. governments and aligned with U.S. intelligence agencies, often staffed by CIA officers. You see, Victoria Nuland was also involved in Kiev or Kyiv. Huh. Now, let's just go ahead and complete the circle. She's a card-carrying member of the American Communist Party. She spends her time working in the State Department until a Democrat loses an election. Then she bounces over to an NGO where she spends her time abroad making ridiculous amounts of money while also ensuring that foreign conflicts continue for quite some time, because as we've discussed many, many times before, wars are where you and I get to die, but it's where people in government get rich, and it's where people in the military get rich. It's where people in the intelligence agencies get rich. Oh, what kind of rich? Subpoena. This is from a Constantine Turpin. Subpoenas for five Navy admirals requested by defendants in retired Admiral Robert Burke bribery case. What's this case about? A retired four-star Navy admiral left his post after allegedly pushing some of your money to an organization where he then went to work for $500,000 a year. You see, these foreign adventures, foreign conflicts, a coup here, Russia, Ukraine, doesn't matter where it is, Iraq, honestly, Afghanistan. There are huge money-making ventures for all these people. NGOs, generals, and others. That is a window into the system. Now, do you understand what you're dealing with? Do you understand how much of what you see has to do with making people money and getting people power, and how little of what you see is actually for the benefit of the United States of America? They make these huge policy decisions, and they know what words to use in front of you and me. They get on the news, and they start talking about freedom and democracy, and they use buzzwords like Russia and things like that, designed to create an emotional reaction in you But the truth is, once your government becomes evil and corrupt and criminal, the people who run it don't make decisions based on what's based on the country. Frankly, they think those decisions are quaint and stupid and ridiculous. They make decisions to fill up their bank accounts. Now, back to the question I asked, why do corporations spend over $100,000 a month for private security to protect value? Why is there so much opposition to Pete Hegseth, RFK Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, and now Kash Patel? Well, the people who spend millions of dollars a year on private security, those same kind of people run your government. What do you think they would do to protect trillions of dollars? Let's talk about that a little bit more as we finish this up, and we'll move on to other things. Before we get to that, let's talk about something good. I maybe told you last week, maybe I didn't because it was too painful, but my favorite pen broke while I was on the air on Friday. And I was upset, obviously, that once you get a good pen that's comfortable and it writes well, it's like a treasure you pass down to your children. And mine broke last week. And where do you get a new pen when yours breaks? Well, I went to GovX, you see. Not only do I want a great pen, I don't want to pay full price like some sucker or like Chris would have to do. If you are a first responder or a member of their family, if you're a former military member of their family, you get a free GovX membership. Free. It's free to you. You sign up, govx.com. You use the promo code Jesse because that gets you $15 off your first purchase. And what you have is a sea of discounts to more websites than I could ever list here. Whether you need a wonderful pen that you could rub in Chris's face, maybe you want to book concert tickets, a new jacket. I bought a sweet bomber jacket. I'm not going to go into it right now. You need a knife. You need some optics. Whatever you need, GovX is your first stop. Go. You earned it. And make sure you use the promo code Jesse to save yourself some money. GovX.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. There's still so much more to get to, and I am going to get to what Trump said about the hostages, and we're going to make fun of Dome. I'm going to do a bunch of emails, which I haven't gotten to yet. Hopefully, I can get to the debanking stuff. I'm going to finish up this Kash Patel stuff. Kash Patel to head up the FBI is perfect.
The FBI's footprint has gotten so freaking big. And the biggest problem the FBI has had has come out of its intel shops. I'd break that component out of it. I'd shut down the FBI Hoover building on day one and reopening the next day as a museum of the deep state. And I'd take the 7,000 employees that work in that building and send them across America to chase down criminals. Go be cops. You're cops. Go be cops. Go chase down murderers and drug dealers and violent offenders. What do you need 7,000 people there for? Same thing with DOJ. What are all these people doing here? Looking for the next government promotion, looking for their next fancy government title, looking for their parachute out of government. So while you're bringing in the right people, you also have to shrink government.
Why are they so opposed? Why are they so afraid of Pete Hegseth, of Kash Patel, of RFK Jr., of Tulsi Gabbard? Well, that whole NGO system I just laid out, the system of them blood-sucking money from your wallet and handing it to each other, those are the people who threatened that system. And the system will guard against it. I'm going to play something for you. And I want you to understand that this man is not only a United States senator, he's a United States senator from a state that is a staggering 65-66% Republican. This state could, if the voters cared to, could elect any kind of Republican they want. Instead, they have this one.
Chris Wray, who the president nominated the first time around, and I think the president picked a very good man to be the director of the FBI when he did that in his first term. When we meet with him behind closed doors, I've had no objections to the way that he's handled himself. And so I don't have any complaints about the way that he's done his job right now.
That's Mike Rounds, United States Senator from South Dakota. The system is starting to pitch a fit that Christopher Wray is going to be fired. How could you do that? Why would you fire it? This guy, this is a Harry Littman, an alleged journalist. Patel nomination is an affront to the professionals at the FBI who won't forget it, even if Patel goes down. I love how he calls the FBI agents professionals, and then in the exact same sentence, drops a threat out there. They're totally professional, and they're going to remember what you tried to do, and they'll get you back. Yeah, it sounds very professional, actually. Why is the system so worried about guys like Kash Patel? Because reformers threaten a multi-trillion dollar business. It's not just a sweetheart government job that's at stake. It is a multi-trillion dollar business between foreign things, illegal immigration things. Trillions of dollars are at stake. You, the American citizen, are constantly being blood-sucked and pillaged by the evil people who work in and around your government. And if you get someone who wants to change that, the system will fight back against it. And don't you think for a single solitary second that every member of that system has a D by their name. There are some R's in there. Why would someone like Mike Rounds say something like this? We can only guess. Who knows? Mike Rounds might be bought off. Could be campaign donations. I bet you'll find some very, very interesting things in Mike Rounds' FEC report, which is public information if you care to go dig through it. Want to do a little journalism on your own? You don't have to have a New York Times badge to be a journalist. Go look at Mike Rounds and the organizations that donate to his campaign. Maybe you'll find something there. Maybe that's why Mike Rounds thinks Christopher Wray's done a bang-up job while he was raiding Mar-a-Lago, FBI agents rifling through Melania Trump's underwear drawer, and Mike Rounds doesn't have a problem with it. Throwing pro-life pastors in prison, Mike Rounds doesn't have a problem with it. He's conducted himself very well. Maybe he's bought off. Maybe he's a moron. I doubt that. We're not going to give him that benefit of the doubt. Maybe he just doesn't know. I mean, I can't even say that. That's not true. Maybe he's blackmailed. Never disregard that. They're not saying he is because I don't know. But blackmailing people in government has been part of every secret state police organization since the dawn of time. The FBI is famous for it. They started out that way. J. Edgar Hoover had files on everyone in government. Maybe Mike Rounds has something in his life, something from his past or currently, that could really, really hurt him in some way. And the FBI has simply come to him and said, "Hey, Mike, you're a big fan of Christopher Wray, aren't you, Mike? You don't want any reforms at the FBI, do you, Mike? Because we've got this video here. Remember that trip you took to Paris that one time on the government jet? We got some video of you back at the hotel, Mike. Sure would be a shame if this went public. Anyway, Christopher Wray has your full support, doesn't he, Mike?" And then they run to the news and they say things like
Chris
this.
Wray, who the president nominated the first time around. And I think the president picked a very good man to be the director of the FBI when he did that in his first term. When we meet with him behind closed doors, I've had no objections to the way that he's handled himself. And so I don't have any complaints about the way that he's done his job right now. And once again, the president has the right to make nominations.
The ones they complain about the most, the Matt Gaetzes, who's already gone, the Hegseths, the Patels, the RFKs, the Gabbards, they're not the ones who they find kind of not palatable as far as their policy stances. They're the ones who risk the trillion-dollar pot these people dip their hands into every day. And that's why you see opposition from even people like Mike Rounds. All right, enough. Let's talk about what awesome thing Trump said today when it comes to the hostages. We'll make fun of Dome. Do some other things before we get to the other things. I'm going to get to this. The people in Israel are, it's somehow about to get worse. I don't even know how that's humanly possible, but it's somehow going to get worse. You see, it looks like this Syria thing has the possibility in really weird ways of spilling over into Israel. So they're not only fighting Hamas, fighting Hezbollah, fighting the Houthis, fighting Iran, it's without end for a tiny country of 8 million people. It's the size of New Jersey. So who's going to help them? Who's going to help the people on the ground? Not the government. The government's fine. Who's going to help the actual citizens there, the people? Because that's what a nation is, remember. It's not its government. It's its people. The IFCJ is, with your help. The IFCJ is on the ground giving out food, flak jackets, helmets, building bomb shelters, keeping people alive. Go help them. Support IFCJ.org is where you go. Or call 888-488-IFCJ. Trump's statement and some emails. Next.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.